Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Oh, I fondly remember my college days. They're far enough behind me now that I can remember them with that kind of golden haze of nostalgia. The pain, the suffering of studying, the homesickness, those things are all forgotten. Nothing is remembered except the glory and all of the fun and the camaraderie. But I do remember I was ill-prepared for the temptations that would face me as I stepped onto the college campus as an 18-year-old kid, 600 miles from mom and dad, from friends and family. I was ill-prepared for what I would face also by way of worldview challenges. I hadn't been raised in a sheltered environment, but it sure seemed that way when I got to the college campus. And I went to a church college. I wonder what it must be like for those who are going to a regular state university, the secular university, or some other kind of college. We're going to be talking about campus ministry during this hour of Issues Etc. Now, before we begin, I'd like to thank Pastor Gary Peepcorn and our friends at Christ Our King Lutheran Church in Morgan Hill, California. They have joined a group of sponsoring congregations who sponsor Issues Etc. on KFAX. It's great to add Christ Our King Lutheran Church in Morgan Hill to those several other Christ-centered church sponsors in the San Francisco Bay Area. Thanks to all of you for your support of Issues Etc. And in case you're listening for the first time to Issues Etc., this is a live call-in program. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening, August the 24th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us with your questions or your comments on our Issues Etc. forum. Go to this website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and there you'll find the Issues Etc. forum waiting for your questions and your comments as we talk this hour about campus ministry. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. He's pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and he's a board member for a youth organization called Higher Things. Pastor Zill, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Todd. Good to be here.
Marcus, what is the biggest challenge facing the Christian university student as they step onto the university campus?
Well, that's a big one to pin down. I would have to say, I mean, there's so many, but I would have to say just the jolt of dealing with issues related to freedom and responsibility. This is the first time in a young person's life, for most of them, that they have been away from mom and dad for more than maybe a week for a high school soccer camp or whatever in the summer. And all of a sudden, they can do whatever they do, whenever they want to do, and there's more than enough people to help them create new things to do if they want to try something different. So, but time management, knowing that you don't have mom to do the laundry, knowing that you don't have dad to come fix something real quick, and knowing that you can sleep in as long as you want. I always joke that the first 3 weeks of for freshmen for their first semester, they all stay up till about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then all of a sudden you hear them saying, "You know, that doesn't work."
They figure it out.
They figure it out eventually that they have to kind of adjust their thinking. That just because you can doesn't mean it's the best choice to make.
In addition to that, Marcus, what worldviews will confront the Christian student when he steps onto the university campus?
Well, the most obvious one, and I'm sure you've had plenty of people on your show to talk about this, and that's postmodernism. Universities used to be a place where you were all about the pursuit of truth in all the disciplines, really. And postmodernism has really kind of turned that upside down. Now everything is diversity and choice. You can have your truth. I can have my truth. That's no reason we can't all get along. And you kind of have a smorgasbord of truths, and everybody kind of bellies up to pick whatever they want. And that can be a little disconcerting for young people because they've been in a in a haven of kind of a worldview that's been the same for 18 years of their life, whether it's how their parents approach things, their church, their local school, and the other organizations that they're involved in. And all of a sudden they show up on campus, and there's hundreds and hundreds of worldviews to choose from, and they're not always similar or consistent with the ones they grew up with.
So what's the best advice that you would give not only to that incoming freshman, but also perhaps even to their parents as well, when they step foot on campus?
Well, the number one piece of advice that I give all incoming freshmen is don't join anything for the first month that you're on campus. You've got enough stuff to do, just getting used to, time management and that freedom and responsibility without adding on all this extra stuff. And that also keep them from making some bad decisions if they just be patient and take their time.
Now, this might blow some people's minds, but you actually do a bit of traveling, not just a bit, a lot of traveling, prior to the beginning of the first term for these freshmen. You go see them before they show up. How does this work?
Well, what I do, and I'm glad you asked about that, I just got back from what my college students refer to as my tour, and I have spent about 5 days on the road throughout Wyoming, Nebraska, and northern Colorado, visiting all of the incoming freshmen who I met at a student orientation fair back in June. And I just put on 1,500 miles, saw about 12 or 14 of them. Usually I get the chance to sit down with them and their parents, and if I can, their home pastor, and if he's able to join us. And really what it is, and to be frank, I got really tired of seeing all the students slip through the cracks, and the place where they slip through the cracks is their first year and even the first month of their first year. And so I want to get to know them as quickly as I possibly can, and I also want to impress upon them some things that they need to keep in mind and some pointers before they even show up. And it gives me a chance to for them to have one familiar face on campus, and what better person for that to be than who they will hopefully have as a campus pastor.
What kind of questions do parents ask when you go to meet with them and their incoming freshmen?
Well, ironically, I don't think they have that many questions, as much as they are just interested to listen and learn from someone that has been there and done that. A lot of them are scared because they remember the stuff that they did when they were in college to get in trouble and otherwise. I think they're mostly afraid of the friends that their son or daughter are going to make, and they're very, very nervous about how they're going to remain connected to Christ in the life of the church.
What kind of questions do the incoming students ask you?
Well, sometimes I get things, you've been on tour, right? And I go, yeah. And they go, well, have you seen any cute incoming freshman LCMS boys? And I can usually answer that one. But I don't think they really know what to expect. I really don't. I think it is such a jolt when they show up on campus, when they walk through the student union and they see the gay lesbian outfit passing out condoms, when they meet some of the people that are in the dorms, I think it's such a jolt that they really can't even prepare for it. And so part of what I do when I meet with them is I'm trying to impress upon them, the fact, obviously, that they need to remain connected to Christ, and I tell them about our campus ministry. But I also spend a little bit of time talking with them about postmodernism and pluralism. And what I'm doing this fall is that I'm actually going to have a freshman-only class. It's called the Freshman 15. And I'm trying to round all of them up to get them to know one another and to talk about a lot of these issues, sororities, fraternities, the homosexual agenda, postmodernism, you name it, to talk about those things while they're actually facing them. Then they get a chance to know each other, too. And that sometimes is very helpful for young people to feel comfortable getting involved in a new church, because for many of them, they've never been to another church their whole life.
With only 1 minute before we go, Marcus, you used that phrase twice, connected to Christ. How do students stay connected to Christ in college?
Well, there's really only one way that I know of, and that is, and that's perhaps why I'm so insane about driving as far as I am to go visit them, and that is to get involved in a local parish that hopefully is Christ-centered and will provide them with the exact ministry and word and sacrament that they had back home. And for a lot of them, it's the first time in their life that they really start appreciating it. But you can't get them in there if they don't come, and so that's why I put the effort up front.
We're talking with Pastor Marcus Zill. He is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, on the campus of the University of Wyoming up there. He's a board member for a youth organization called Higher Things. I'll tell you a little bit about that later in the program. We're talking about campus ministry. Now, when we come back, we will let Pastor Zill tell us a little bit about those ideologies that flourish on the university and the college campus that, I'll tell you one thing, folks, when I went to college, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to encounter worldviews that differed so radically from my own. And, you know, in a time of experimentation and thinking things through and questioning what you've been taught, they can sometimes seem rather attractive. We'll talk about some of those when we come back.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism, and I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how in his word and sacraments, Jesus really comes into my life. A lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has the theological substance and the depth that is sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about campus ministry. Folks, the worldviews we're about to talk about, we've touched upon here just a moment ago, they are flourishing, they are nurtured, and they are grown to almost a radical extent, yes, to a radical extent, on the university campus, on the college campus, in the university and college classroom. That's where your kids will encounter these worldviews perhaps for the first time. But they are the same worldviews that Christians encounter throughout their lives out in the real world, outside the world of academia. That's why we are offering as our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, a book that deals with the basics on how to respond to worldviews that are skeptical of the Christian worldview. The book is called The Defense Never Rests. It's a lawyer's quest for the gospel. It's by our regular guest here at Issues Etc., Craig Parton. The book is $9.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order it online, our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on this book, The Defense Never Rests. Or you can purchase the book by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Now, this is very important. When you call or when you write, make sure you ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Zill, let's talk about a few of those ideologies that confront the incoming student on the university and college campus, and begin with the place where they meet them and where these things are nourished and flourish most strongly, and that, I imagine, is in the classroom itself, beginning with that term you used before, postmodernism, that truth is relative, that morality is relative, Is it true that this is what they will be taught by and large at the secular university in the classroom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one almost wonders why universities exist if they're not about pursuing truth. I mean, at least rationalism was had the foundation of wanting to find objective truth. Now, basically on the college campus, truth is pretty much poo-pooed by anybody and everybody as being unnecessary. What do you need truth for? And, you know, the young people, they will be confronted with that in terms of, evolution. Of course, that is still a real mainstay on the college campus. But even evolution gets back to kind of a rationalistic view of things where you're still trying to find truth. It's just that you're trying to prove it, prove things through science. But you will find people that will, 2 + 2 actually does mean 5 to some people, and you can have it mean equals 5, and I can have it equals 4, and that's just fine. It really is pervasive. If as a campus pastor, the one place where I really set people on edge when I talk to them around campus is when you try to act like you actually have a corner on the truth. People get most upset when you even begin to claim that there is any truth whatsoever.
Describe the religious culture on the college campus.
People often think that that religion is non-existent on a college campus, especially a secular one, and in reality, it's quite the opposite. Our universities are permeated with religion. Most of it tends to be of the New Age variety, kind of this inner spirituality that I look to the truth that's not outside of myself, that's not objective, but it's very much within me, and it's just up to me to unleash it. It's not uncommon to have people developing new religions on campus. I had a young man, I mentioned this to you on the show before, came to me a couple years ago and told me that he was starting his new religion, and he was going to take whatever he liked from all the other ones on campus, and he wanted to know if he could have my support and if he could come talk to my students. And, of course, I wouldn't do that. But you have, of course, everything on campus. But you also have the opportunity to create your own religion if you find one that doesn't suit you.
You mentioned before the gay and lesbian groups that will meet the incoming freshmen when they do the tours of all the groups on campus. Tell us about the homosexual agenda and to what degree it is active on the average university campus.
Well, I think, colleges are always a place, kind of a fountain and breeding spot for liberal ideas and political agendas, and that's certainly true with the homosexual one. I tend to think that it's that on most college campuses, I know here at the University of Wyoming, you have a very, very vocal minority. As we all know that the homosexuals can be very, very vocal, and normally people are afraid to speak out or to even dare to kind of challenge them on anything that they bring up. Of course, here with the whole Matthew Shepard situation, I'm sure many of your listeners recall that from nearly 5 years ago now, that young man was murdered here in Laramie, allegedly because he was a homosexual. He was a homosexual. The jury's kind of out on whether or not he was murdered for that reason. But we have a very vocal minority on campus, but they get all the play in the media, that's for sure.
What did your congregation there, St. Andrews on the campus there, what did they do in response to that crime?
Well, I had just gotten here, had taken the call here as a campus pastor about a month and a half after that happened. And one of the things that occurred my first semester here as a campus pastor, they had this religious panel on homosexuality and Christianity, and they invited all the religious leaders of the community, except for myself and the other Missouri Synod pastor in town, and perhaps a couple of the Baptists and the Mormons. And they had this panel discussion, and the next day in the student newspaper it said, religious panelists, religious leaders believe that homosexuality is a gift of God, unanimously. And my students were flabbergasted by this. They were just in shock. And there was some confusion as to which kind of Lutheran was being discussed as participating in the panel, and it wasn't us. And so we thought about taking out I was going to write a letter to the editor, and one of my journalism students said, no, you can't do that. They're going to so rip up whatever you write, it's not going to say what you did. And so everybody kind of pitched in, and we scraped together and found some money within our budget and other places and took out a full-page ad in the student newspaper that made a good, clear, apologetic defense of the Christian faith, and especially as it relates to homosexuality, with an offer of where people could go to actually hear the truth and to find rest in Christ. And there actually, during that time, was one young man that sought to do that.
What was the general reaction to your congregation and you taking a stand in the wake of what was obviously a very volatile event?
Well, I have to say up front that I was actually more nervous about the reaction we'd get in the community than the students were. I was originally just going to put my name on this thing, and they got kind of upset at me. And they said, Pastor, haven't you been teaching us that we're supposed to confess our faith in and out of season two? Well, we want to put our name on this. But I'd say the overall reaction, I'd say 2-1, was extremely positive. People were very willing, very thankful that someone had actually dared to say something that wasn't just exactly what the liberal media wanted to hear. And most people kind of said, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about all this. There was some hate mail, of course, but it was greatly outnumbered by the positive comments.
We're talking with Pastor Marcus Zill about campus ministry. I'd like you to join our conversation, especially those college students who are listening, or those recent college grads. If you're a parent or a grandparent of one of those freshmen who's going off to university or college, give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or if you prefer, visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find the Issues Etc. forum, 1-800-730-2727. Why are the sermons and songs in many evangelical churches more about the Christian than the Christ? What does it mean to be truly evangelical? Can a crossless Christianity ever be truly evangelical? Hi, I'm Todd Wilkin, host of Issues Etc. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for August is called The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton. You can order this powerful critique of American Christianity by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or order The Defense Never Rests online at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, The Defense Never Rests. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Craig Parton, author of our Issues Etc. book of the month for August, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. Craig, why this title for your book?
Well, I began in evangelicalism, and for many, many years I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, Todd. And as a result of that, I was very interested in evangelism and presenting the gospel to the unbeliever. Part of that search for where I could find the gospel being presented in its clearest and purest form led me to a serious consideration of the theology of the Reformation and, frankly, to the Lutheran Church, where a Christ-centered theology and worship form was presented. And as a result of that, I have found the best basis I could ever have for the defense of the faith. And as a lawyer, I'm very interested in defending the faith by the uses of evidence. And in Lutheran theological position, I found the most solid basis for keeping my apologetic Christ-centered, keeping it evidential, keeping it inductive, building it from the bottom up, just like good Lutheran theology does, using the data of Scripture and showing how that data can be supported by the best of legal arguments and legal evidences. So the book is just an effort to show that that apologetical task really never ends, and that Lutheranism provides the evangelical the best and most solid basis for the defense of the faith and for regaining a church life that's connected with the ancient Catholic with a small C church, and one that stays incarnational and Christ-centered. It presents that for anyone who is serious about evangelizing somebody or is interested in evangelizing the American postmodern mindset with the facts and evidences and dealing with the objections of unbelievers. The book is designed for them. I mean, it's even designed for me to hand to some of my pagan law partners who can deal with the simple facticity and evidential perspective that a trial lawyer brings to marshaling evidence.
That's Craig Parton, author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. You can order The Defense Never Rests by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or order The Defense Never Rests online at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, and you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel by Craig Parton, 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Christ-centered worship. Dr. Art Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. What is the primary purpose of worship? Is God really present in Christian worship? And why is it important that Christian worship be both biblical and historical? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Art Just. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead on Issues Etc., check out our website. It's issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to read several articles on the subject of campus ministry, including two written by our guest during this hour, Pastor Marcus Zill. The website address, issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening. It's the 24th of August. If you have a question, a comment, or a story to share about campus ministry, feel free to give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, on the campus of the University of Wyoming, and he's a board member for a youth organization called Higher Things. Marcus, we were talking about some of the ideologies that are so strong on the university campus. We talked about postmodernism and religious pluralism and homosexuality. One more that I think we need to discuss is feminism. Where are they going to encounter the feminist worldview, the feminist ideology, first and foremost, as they enter the university campus?
Oh, man. That begins in the dorms when they show up. I really feel, especially for our young girls, they're going off to college. They have many aspirations and things that they want to do and learn and be in life, and the overall mindset on campus is very negative towards anybody even thinking about saying, well, I'd like to be a mom someday. It's very, very prevalent. If you even remotely want to talk about getting married and settling down and raising your kids or homeschooling or anything like that, it's very much met with the idea that, well, I guess you have given in to the male-dominated society and what they expect of you, haven't you? I really feel for our young girls in that way.
Let's talk about some of the practical concerns. And you mentioned this as the biggest challenge that would probably face the Christian student entering the college university, not only issues of how to watch out for their time and get up on time and things like that, but the temptations of being away from mom and dad, the whole support structure for the first time. I know what the typical picture of the college campus is, and I don't know that it's that far from the truth, and that is they're your fraternities, they're your sororities, and everyone else are finding their own ways to go out, find parties, get drunk. They're staying up late doing something, Pastor Zell. Tell us about this challenge and how it is best met by the incoming Christian.
Well, this is a big challenge. I mean, you show up the first day, everybody wants to ask you, people you've never met before, until 2 o'clock that afternoon are asking you to go out to a party with you, and you don't know who they are, and that normally hasn't happened to you before. But you're lonely, you're vulnerable, you want to make friends, you know you're lonely, you know you don't know anybody, and the advice that I give young people is that you cannot put enough emphasis on choosing your friends wisely. If you choose your friends wisely, good friends are going to put you in good situations, whether it's in terms of staying away from the partying culture or at least being in better situations than others, in terms of potentially finding a future spouse or the dating considerations. If you choose to take the time to choose your friends wisely, a lot of those things are going to actually take care of themselves. Of course, the sororities and fraternities, see, they work against my whole idea, which is just wait. Be patient. Don't join anything for your first month, because there's a reason why they call it rush. They want you to rush in before you even have had a chance to really think about it.
Tell us what you, I want to come back to fraternities and sororities in a minute, but tell us what you tell the parents of these students about drinking.
Well, sometimes, honestly, I think that we sell our young people short who are Christians. As Christians, we do not believe that alcohol or drinking is in and of itself wrong or sinful. It's like many things. It's how you use it in the context. And there are ways to learn to be socially responsible and to enjoy that first article gift of God's creation. And there are places where you can severely abuse it, and it can get you in a lot of trouble. I usually, one of the things, and it's not the first thing I tell parents when I get together with them, but I let them know that one of the things that we're going to talk about, that I'm going to talk about with their young person, especially in this class I offer near the end, we talk about drinking and when and where it's responsible. And, you know, as a campus pastor, there have been not a few times that we've had many of a very in-depth Bible class spill over to where somebody says, you know, hey, Pastor, it's Thursday night. If we're going to sit around talking about all this deep stuff, why don't we go over to my place and we can have a beer? And, well, a lot of folks might find that's kind of scandalous. Most of the young people actually find it refreshing, the thought that they might actually, when they're of age, keep that in mind, be able to sit around and have a beer and talk to a pastor about theology. In fact, I think we've probably had one or two young people that have become interested in coming to our church precisely because they found it refreshing that there was a church. They always thought there wasn't something completely wrong with drinking. They knew that binging and drinking underage and abusing it was bad, but it's kind of refreshing to hear somebody say, you know, it's not all bad. There is a time and a place, and I think we need to provide our young people with opportunities to actually learn when and how and what that really looks like when it can be done appropriately.
Should Christian college students join a fraternity or a sorority?
Well, in a nutshell, and this is one of my biggest concerns with young people, especially the freshmen, I'll say up front that at least in my 5 years of campus ministry experience, those who are in the frats and the sororities, they don't go to church. They, in essence, have developed their own little community. Most of them are very, very religious in nature, even though you wouldn't think so. It's not just about the meat market parties and the binge drinking and some of that kind of, or even the snobbery that can sometimes exist in some of those Greek fraternities and sororities. I usually tell people there's not a single thing that you can find there that is good, that you can't find in other better situations all over campus. A lot of the same things they can, in terms of wanting to be around people and have friends and meet people and all those types of things, they can also find at a good, solid campus ministry. My biggest concern with the fraternities and sororities is the secret nature of most of them, as well as the religious rituals. We have had people ask our churches here in Laramie to use their our sanctuaries on a Friday evening at midnight for their rituals. One of the sororities I know has has Mother Goddess language in the initiation vows, and so we certainly want to be careful to not misuse God's name and to blaspheme it and put ourselves in a situation where we're really mitigating against our own faith rather than confessing it.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Listening on KQCV, Deborah is calling from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Deborah, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. You got real close. It's Tahlequah.
Tahlequah. Thank you.
I have a comment. My youngest daughter went to college, and we'd already had a son go to college. And when we took the daughter up there, of course, she got a roommate and didn't realize until after she was in the room situation and stuff that the girl was a lesbian. And that was a situation that we weren't prepared to deal with, just hadn't even thought about it. And at first, I had asked I thought it was terrible, but I tried to be very calm with my daughter and ask her, you know, well, how do you know? She said she'd walked in on them kissing, and I said, well, it could have been worse. And she said, oh, no, that's horrible. That's worse. That's as bad as it gets. But she played basketball, and when she came in one night, she walked in the dorm and in her room, and they were in her bed together. And I had a real problem with that for the fact that you can't have co-ed cohabitation on the college campuses, and she had a real hard time. They didn't want to move her out of the room, and yet this other girl, girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, was right there in the dorm room with her. So we did get her moved, but that's something that, you know, we just didn't realize how to deal with it. What prayers.
Deborah, thank you very much for the call.
Wow.
Pastor Zill.
Well, first of all, I'm glad you got her. I'm glad you got her moved, and I don't care what school it is, they should be willing to do that for you. I mean, you're there to get an education, not to be confronted with something so in your face that you're not comfortable with. And that's often hard for young people. They show up as a freshman, they don't know, I mean, they're going to have a roommate who they're going to get to know very well for the next semester or two that they've never met. And I'm sorry that she had such a vivid example of just what our young people face, but I'm glad that you got her moved.
You express a little bit of surprise, it sounded like, in your voice, but with only 1 minute before we go to the break here, is that really that unusual for someone to encounter on a university campus?
Well, I don't think that it is that common to have, I just don't believe that the lesbian, homosexual culture that, you know, there aren't, 25% of our students running around who are homosexuals. It is a minority. And it's unfortunate. I don't think it's nearly that common. I think that's just one really, really sad example. And I'm glad it's not more common than that.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We're talking about campus ministry. Not only a challenge by way of ministry, but folks, this really encompasses your kids, too, the ones who go, and you as parents as well. Feel free to give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Folks, if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, or if you'd like to help Issues Etc. contend for the truth in an age of anti-truth by making a tax-deductible gift, we have a resource line you can call. 1-800-737-0172 is the number, 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. We'll be right back after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Folks, if you want to receive a free resource to give your college-age student, or if it's your son or daughter, your grandchild, why not send them a tape of this two-hour broadcast with Pastor Marcus Zill on campus ministry? Now, here's how you can go about getting a free tape. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you're going to hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address, probably, for the local church that sponsors Issues Etc., and they will send you a free cassette recording when you contact them. Now, you should hear contact information for this local church sponsor right after the Issues Etc. close theme. Debbie is calling from Cleveland, listening on WHK. Debbie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I really enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I was listening intently to all you were saying. I've graduated a few years ago now, but I remember all of these things that you're talking about, and being so shocked by the things that I was learning and seeing and changing my whole vision of things. But in addition to the sort of far out bizarre things that you encounter for the first time, I just wanted to mention, I remember being surprised by all of the other Christian stuff that was going on there. And my husband calls them the church of what's happening now, you know, trying to lure people in and changing your view of Christianity slowly and in a group setting that could kind of be dangerous. And I was just going to suggest, I think it would be really helpful if parents could actually take their child to the church, show them where it is, find out the schedule of when services are, and sort of give them at least a knowledge of where they can go for their own faith.
Debbie, it's a good suggestion. Thank you for the call. Pastor Zill, your reaction.
Well, yes, Debbie, that's fantastic advice. In fact, that's one of the things that I really encourage parents to do. Sometimes our young people will say that they haven't been coming to church while they're at college because they don't know anybody at church, which, you know, is an excuse, but they don't know anybody when they've never been there before. You know, they grow up, they've always gone to the same church, see the same people in the same pews. And what better thing for parents to do than to actually come and get familiar with the church or campus ministry alongside of them. But, yeah, there is a, you know, the church of what's happening now, that pretty much is that pretty much represents most of the campus ministries. In fact, I thought your callers would find it interesting, Todd, that your August Book of the Month with Craig Parton. Craig was actually in Campus Crusade for 7 years right here in Laramie, and so he's familiar with the campus ministry here as well. In fact, he's going to be a main speaker at one of our Higher Things campus ministry conferences next year. But yeah, that exists too. Although what's interesting is that the young people, they don't really want the what's happening now. They're looking for something that's a little bit more transcendent and eternal and grounded. In a nutshell, they're looking for truth, something contrary to what they're experiencing in the classroom where it's not about the truth.
Let's go to Dennis, listening on WAUR in Franklin Park, Illinois. Dennis, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, I listen to WAUR very diligently, as often as I possibly can. It's one of the great stations in America for Christian programming. And yours, of course, one of my favorites. Programs.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you. And God bless you. And anyway, my question, my niece who lives in Connecticut is going to be a freshman at the University of Connecticut, and I visit them like every year for the last 10 years in my summer vacation. We never talk about God, and I'm just beginning to have a stronger walk with the Lord myself, and God's given me some gift in, as far as writing, and it touches people's heart because I write from the Spirit. And since my sister's daughter, my niece, is going to be going as a freshman, and I'm not even sure if she has Jesus in her life because it's never been brought up, and she don't seem to have any zeal for it when I visit them, and no conversations about Jesus or about God or anything about the Christian doctrines or anything of that nature. So I wondered, since I'm having a stronger walk, what would you suggest that I send her or talk to her as frequently as I can over the telephone just to see that she don't be led off into one of these, fraternities or sororities that do things that are not what God wants, you know, his children to do, and that she gets, you know, saved if she's not saved, because I'm not even sure if she's truly been saved yet either.
Dennis, so. Thank you very much for the call. Marcus, we're running short on time here. Your best advice to someone who has contact with an incoming freshman, as Dennis does?
Well, it's all about relationships. She needs to get in a relationship with people who will reach out to her and spend time with her and talk to her. Hopefully there's some good campus ministries or congregations that perhaps could be contacted so that the folks trying to do campus ministry there at the Stores Connecticut at least know that she's there. There's also several books. Some of C.S. Lewis books or perhaps On Being a Christian by Henry Hammond. I found that very helpful with people that perhaps may or may not be Christians, but could have need for some basic answers to some simple questions.
A couple final questions, very quickly. What about the person who says, I'm not going to have to worry about any of this because I'm sending my kid to a Christian college?
Well, that's very naive. In fact, that whole lesbian scenario from the one caller a couple times back could have just as easily happened in a Christian college. And honestly, in cases where that takes place, it can be even more shocking because then you sit here and think, well, here I am at a Christian college and my roommate's a lesbian. And so I don't think anybody's off the hook on anything anymore just because you happen to be going to a Christian college. You're going to have, I mean, I went to a Christian college and you can get in as much trouble there as you can anywhere else. And so it's still about relationships. It's still about making good choices in terms of your friends. And in some cases, I've found that those that go to a Christian college can end up going off the deep end just as quickly, if not quicker, than someone that's going to a secular university where they realize up front what they're going to face.
Finally, Marcus, with only a minute before we've got to go, you talked about being connected to Christ. Why does even the secular university permit an opportunity for these incoming freshmen to be connected to Christ when there's a good campus ministry?
Well, most universities are going to be about wholeness and wellness and trying to reach out to the whole person, and so they understand the importance of all of the activities that a young person does. Some universities are better at allowing you to be on campus than others, but most of our campus ministries are fully recognized student organizations, and they just simply realize that they're trying to serve those students, and it's to their benefit to have a good campus ministry, because here at the University of Wyoming, if people think that we have a good, solid campus ministry here, then maybe their kid's going to come to their state school to come to the church as well.
Folks, we're going to be continuing and taking your phone calls and your emails on the subject of campus ministry in the next hour. We'll also be giving away copies of two books to the very best callers in the next hour. The first one, The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton, and How to Stay Christian in College by last week's guest, Dr. Jay Bujaszewski. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. 1-800-730-2727. Now, we especially in this next hour want to hear from current college students and recent college grads. You'll get top priority among the callers and the emailers in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. You can post your questions or comments on our Issues Etc. forum issues, etc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find our Issues Etc. forum for your questions and your comments. You can also tune in live in the next hour on the Internet by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo, and you'll be able to listen in the next hour as we continue our conversation, issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening, August the 24th, so call during this break. If you get a busy signal, keep trying. We'll be freeing up those phone lines right away as we continue our conversation, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You know, this is vital not only for the student who goes for the first time to the university campus, far away from home, far away from mom and dad and family, to remain connected to Christ. There is but one way for this to occur, and that's not by sitting in your dorm room saying, well, you know, I came in here a Christian, and I imagine that if I just keep my head down, keep my nose in the books, and my mouth shut, I'll come out of here a Christian. There are dangers there on campus, as there are dangers in life. The only way that Christians are kept connected to Christ is how Christ connects himself to us. Very real, tangible ways. Through the preaching of his word. The clear, solid preaching of law and gospel. The forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ and him alone. Through the sacraments that he provides through his church. You know, folks, that's why we have campus ministry. Because campus ministry is where the word is preached and the sacraments are administered to keep those students, as they're beginning their foray into the world, connected to the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.